As with last week, we need a little pedantry to make sense of these readings. Again, the followers of Jesus who believed that God had raised Jesus from the dead also believed that the end was imminent. Because the resurrection of the dead was the first of the, or the great eschatological sign, the sign of the end time. So if God raised Jesus from the dead, then everybody was going to be raised from the dead. Now the Gospel of Luke was written two or three generations after Jesus, and Jesus still hadn't been sent back by the Father to judge the world and end the whole thing. So what we find in this passage from Luke is what is called an apocalyptic view of the end. Namely, all hell's going to break loose, literally. It's going to be terrible. Why? Because if, as we heard Doris read in the Psalms, God is going to do justice on the earth, where justice is hardly the hallmark of human existence. So you're going to have this great, great conflict between the injustice that we human beings perpetrate on each other and what God wants and what God is going to bring about ultimately. And that, by the way, is why Paul, in this passage, complains about people sitting around doing nothing. It's not that the Thessalonians were a bunch of sluggards. They just thought, well, Jesus is going to show up momentarily, so we're just going to sit here and, you know, flip coupons and wait till he does, and we don't have to worry about anything. And Paul, typically practical, said, listen, if you're not going to work, you can't eat. It's very simple. Okay, and the reason we have all these readings at this time, tomorrow or next Sunday is the last Sunday of the liturgical year, the Feast of Christ the King. So we get all this end time talk. You know? And I think this is really important because if there's one thing that we have failed massively as an institution, namely the church, to live in a time that is provisional. You know, when I was in the seminary, we had the treatise on the church. The church was the perfect society where everything was in place and we'd all arrived and nobody had to worry about anything because we were all set up for good. The sense of the unfinishedness of things, the unfinishedness of the church, the unfinishedness of the world, was simply not part of the agenda as we were taught. Are mistaught, because that's essential. Because we human beings are constantly anticipating the end and saying, well, things are going to go on as they are now indefinitely. You know, there's nothing to worry about. I mean, nothing's going to change. We're all going to be here infinitely. Well, we're not going to be here infinitely, according to the gospel. In other words, this casts all kinds of light on every human enterprise. And by that I mean this. Everything that we do, whatever our jobs, we should do with a profound consciousness of its preparatory nature. That is, all of this is supposed to somehow prepare us for the real end of things. We don't have that sense. We set up our agendas. We have our, you know, five-year planning terms. We hire planners. People are going to rebrand us, blah, 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 blah. All this nonsense, rubbish. It's very difficult for us human beings, it seems to me, to live with a sense of the provisionality of everything that we do, everything that we are. But until we live with that sense, we're missing the point. And the point is very simple. Is that great line from Teresa of Avila, the great Spanish mystic doctor of the church, one of the three doctors, female doctors of the church. In the end of our lives, we'll be judged on love. And that's the crucial point. That's the criterion by which we are to assess everything that we do and are. Is who we are and what we do increasing the quantum of love in the world, of generosity. That and that alone is what counts. So I've had a number of jobs, like everybody in this room, a number of jobs in my life, is not just being a cleric and being a teacher, but when I was in the States, I worked for the government, I worked in factories and did all kinds of stuff. And there's this whole great congeries of activities, and they all seem to have their own finality. But that's all rubbish. The real finality is am I doing this lovingly? And it's very simple what that means, to do lovingly. Am I treating each other human being that I run into with respect and with generosity? Everyone. Check out people at No Frills. You know, the people come and finally, after a week, finish fixing my furnace, which has been out for a week. Everybody. The guy who pumps gas. You know. Everybody. It's every interaction that we have with other human beings, safe from our normal tendency to see other human beings as simply ciphers, as objects, as more or less contributing to or inhibiting my goals, what I want to happen. And I think that's where the pivotal point is. The great Max Weber, the father of sociology, well, in Germany, Durkheim founded it in France. But Weber talked about the iron cage. What's the iron cage? Where we see the world and operate in the world as this great bureaucratic structure. You know? You belong here, you belong here, you're to do this, you're to do this. And the human reality of everybody else is simply subordinated to these great structural imperatives. You know? That's the way the organization is supposed to run. You know? That's rubbish. That's rubbish. To subordinate people, which happens all over the place. It happens in the church, happens in the world, certainly happens in the university. Where people are subordinated to the smooth functioning of the operation. We can continue to do that without any advertence to the fact that I'm dealing with people. Not ciphers, not functions, not abstractions, but real living, breathing people with their own history, their own ambitions, their own sadnesses, their own joys. And we're called to accommodate that reality, not some kind of function, which we do so often. I mean, it pervades our mentality, I think. You fit into the organization flowchart here. You know? That's rubbish. And everybody in this room, I'm sure, has been aware in one another of the fact that we live in a world that is basically bureaucratized, that iron cage that Weber talked about. And the impulse to treat each other as simply elements within that bureaucracy is ineluctable. It's very hard to escape. We're not, if we take it for granted, you know, so easily, that we don't even advert to the fact. We say, have a wonderful day. You know, rubbish. You know. At least when I say to that, and you hear it endlessly, I don't think people say, people have much sense of what a wonderful day would consist of. We're talking about real people. We talk about some abstract goal. That's what judgment is about. That's what the end time is about. That's what the kingdom of God, which was the heart of Jesus' preaching and consciousness, is about. when we can all stand in the glorious words of the book of Genesis, naked and ashamed before each other, totally open to each other, totally generous to each other, as people, not as instruments, but as people.